So yep. Fresh and so clean, Neil.
Oh, ain't nobody else like you, just so fresh and clean.
Sometimes I have to question why I do this with you guys.
I just fucking, dude, I ask myself that constantly.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot cope with him. Can't do it.
Listen, we talking about practice, not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Down goes Frazier!
You are now locked in to the Clock Dodgers Podcast.
Clock Dodgers Podcast.
Welcome to the Clock Dodgers Podcast. I'm your host, Neil Maligno. I'm not potting alone, though. With me is the notorious Josh Crocker. How is old Oklahoma treating you, Josh?
Oklahoma is just COVID-tastic, let me tell you.
That's awesome, man.
Couldn't be better.
Is it getting COVID heavy out there?
No, I don't think it's getting any worse. It's okay. Just also not getting any better.
Okay, that's not good. That's not good. Well, you know, they want us to
just hanging in there.
They want us to cover up that kind of stuff and not talk about it.
Right. Everything's fine, guys.
Listen, it's not just me and you, Josh. Of course, we have Chicago's very own Adam Cahill in the building also. What's up, Adam?
Oh, not a whole lot, Neil. How's your night going, man?
Doing all right. Dealing with COVID, Josh over here already. This guy is already bringing COVID up.
He didn't cough on you, did he?
No, he didn't.
Oh, thank God.
Thankfully. That mic is probably heavy with COVID, though. That he's talking.
Yeah, it goes to school with me. It's definitely covered in all kinds of things.
That thing is contaminated.
This guy.
Listen, guys. Week two is finished, and while many shy away from victory laps early in the season, here at Clock Dodgers, we of course embrace those because you know we like having fun and enjoying what we do here, even if it's only week two. So things will change. We know. You guys are so uppity. Oh, talk about what you did bad. We don't care. We're not going to sit around here and be miserable. So do either one of you, Josh, I'll let you go first. Do you have at least one guy that you want a victory lap really quick for week two?
I think I'm just going to keep taking the Aaron Jones victory lap until someone knocks me off of it. And also DJ Moore bounced back. So there's that. And if I can add a third, N'Keal Harry is happening. It's happening. Brace yourselves.
Yeah, it's happening. I mean, he's getting the targets. I will say that I can't stand that I feel like he doesn't get anything after the catch.
So, you know what? Maybe he is slot Mike Evans, but he's still happening.
All right. He's happening. DJ Moore is a little bounce back. I'll take that. Aaron Jones. I mean, can this guy be any more swagged out here? This guy's killing the game, wearing crazy hats, glasses, just guys doing everything. The guy's doing everything, Josh. So I can't knock you for that, man. Those are some good picks. Adam. While this guy is running laps out here, do you have anybody that you want a victory lap out here today for week two?
I mean, I got to take credit for the rest of the Patriots offense that's crushing it. I mean, Julian Edelman had his career high for a single game in receiving yards this weekend.
Wowzers.
Like, that's bonkers. I mean, between him and Cam, I mean, I've got them in so many leagues, they're just destroying. It's phenomenal. Cam was the ultimate late round quarterback pick. He's basically a running back, and it's fantastic. And between the two of them, I mean, they're going to put up a ton of points this year. So they're probably my main two victory laps. I mean, I can keep talking up Calvin Ridley scoring all the touchdowns, but, you know, I did enough of that preseason. So, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Yeah, we'll talk about Calvin.
Let's just for one second, like Cam Newton is number one in expected points at QB. And Edelman and N'Keal Harry are 10 and 11. So this whole, like, Cam's going to check it down and it's going to hurt his weapons is bullshit. It's bullshit.
And Cam's not good and Cam's old and injured and he got paid nothing because he sucks. And why is he always dancing? Why is he so happy, that guy? Man.
Yeah.
I think his play the last 2 weeks will show you why he's so damn happy, you haters.
Show could take a victory lap, I think it would be a Cam Newton victory lap.
I think so. But one more victory lap that has to be had here is Jerick McKinnon. I know I like to wait when it's a not-so-obvious lock of the week for that segment, but I'm not going to do that here because why would I do that when it's Jerick McKinnon? I mean, come on. Come on, man.
That's your, like, not-so-obvious lock of the past decade.
Exactly.
And he finally might be relevant. Like, he kind of was last week, but now you're really hoping that with both Mostert and Coleman out, that he finally actually is fantasy relevant. And I don't know, Neil. This is going to be a big telling week for you. I mean, talk about putting your eggs all in one basket. I mean, you love that Jerick McKinnon basket.
I do. I must admit, man. I mean, listen, I always tell people, your bench should be full of explosive playmakers, man. It should be full of guys. If it's your bench, if it's your flex, it's if you're sleepers and you're drafting or you're trading, get guys who can take three fucking targets or three carries and put 75 yards and a touchdown on the board or 50 yards and a touchdown on the board. Jerick McKinnon is like that kind of guy, man. So I'm always going to stick with those kind of guys. I'm always going to have faith in those kind of guys. And, you know, last week, week two, showed why. And like you said, there's some injuries, there's some things going on here. Hopefully he just continues to, you know, to grow that role. They grow trust in him and his health and everything is good. I don't know, guys. This is why I say he was a perfect hold in Dynasty, because it wasn't hurting you at all to just sit there and keep him on the IR and then the offseason just keep him there. And then, or buying him super low in Dynasty when, as soon as you heard that he was healthy and looking good in training camp and all this kind of stuff, or in redraft, just drafting him super late. Like, this guy has crazy upside. The offense he's in has good upside. Now I know they got beat up crazy this week with injuries and everything else. So we'll see how the 49ers progress. Cause I know 49ers fans are like super upset right now. Like, it feels like their world is caving in on them, but yeah, we'll see, man. I'm excited about Jerick McKinnon. You know, I'm not going to stop talking about Jerick McKinnon. Let's get that Jerick McKinnon number up in this episode. Jerick McKinnon. All right. Easy. All right.
I got a marker handy, people. Yeah. I'm tallying.
Yeah. Shout out to Josh, who started this little crazy contest. Because I'm going to keep saying Jerick McKinnon. So hopefully someone put a really high number on there.
Yes, we have bets all over the place. Okay, let me just tell you.
I probably knocked a couple people out already, which is beautiful as well. 5 minutes into the episode.
Couple.
Yeah, it's good. This is good. You don't know me very well if you put five on there, boys.
Well, see, you have this trait, I think, where we're not sure if you're going to lean into it or just completely not participate.
I'm leaning into it, boys.
That was the decision the bettors had to make.
Yeah, it's being leaned into, all right. Being leaned into. All right. Okay. Listen, one of the big storylines of week two, the biggest storyline probably to anybody in week two, no matter how good your team did, no matter how bad your team did, you may have been affected by injuries this week. We thought week one was bad. We thought offseason was bad, all this stuff. You know, we knew guys were going to get hurt, but man, ACLs were getting blown left and right, torn pecs, hamstring injuries, literally everything you can think of. And it wasn't just happening to anybody, right? It was happening to big time players. So I don't know how you guys want to approach this. We can just list off names and hit quick bubbles on each of them here. Whoever wants to jump out on any of them, I'm just going to run down this list from ESPN.com. Yes, ESPN.com. And the first one on the list is Nick Bosa, defensive player. They have him listed as the most, I guess, important, impactful injury. Do either of you have any big takes on that? Obviously, it's a defensive thing, not too much effective for fantasy, but do you guys care?
I mean, it'll be interesting once an offense that isn't the Jets plays against them. So yeah, we'll see if the Giants can do anything, but that offense is terrible as well. So it'll be a little bit before we know.
Yeah, and we'll see also how this affects the offense, right? I mean, the defense gets worse, it's going to affect everything. So
I wish that blown ACL would keep him from voting.
This guy, look at Josh pulling out the political gang shots on this episode. Jeez, you're gonna get canceled 10 minutes into the episode, bro. If I start getting emails to get Josh off the show, I don't know what I have to do. I've never gotten complaints.
We're gonna kick Josh off the show. If you get emails, we have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, we get emails. You know, we did actually. We also got group chat messages about Adam last week and opportunities that we squandered.
Oh no.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah, we're getting a lot of heat out here these days. Josh is bringing it on us right now with the political stuff. All right. I would assume the biggest injury that everyone cares about is Saquon Barkley. Guy's done, man. Torn ACL, done for the year. A lot of people drafted him very early, obviously. A lot of teams were built around this guy. Adam, what do these people do now? What do the Barkley owners do now?
Hope somebody on your bench goes off. I mean, ultimately, if you're trying to find the replacement for Saquon, we'll get into that a little bit later. But Yeah, I mean, if you lose someone who you pick in the first round, basically always they're irreplaceable. But that's why you have to always be focusing throughout your draft on hitting on players. And this year, more than ever, it's going to be about churning the waiver wire. I mean, if this is how many injuries we've seen this early on, like, they're going to keep coming. And if you can be on top of the waiver wire and getting guys as they come up, I mean, touches are going to be super important. So that's what you got to focus on if you, you know, lose a guy like Barkley.
Yeah. And then, Josh, we got other guys on the team who now – How heavy, Josh, I'm curious, when a Barkley goes out, how much do you care about, how much do you get down on the other guys, Daniel Jones, you know, the receivers, Slayton and all these guys, Evan Ingram, like, does it dramatically affect it for you? Or are you like, you know what, these guys are going to get opportunities, different kind of opportunities, but they're going to be there, they're going to figure this out, kind of put a patch on this, you know, hole in the wall? Like, how do you get about the supporting guys who are around that player?
That's a good question. With a guy like Saquon, I feel like he probably affects the overall offense more than most running backs do. You know, it's probably him, Kamara, CMC, and that might be it as far as guys that I think really actually contribute to a rising tide.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about Slayton at all. They're in the Giants offense specifically, Sterling Sharp is going to miss some time. And so we've kind of got to figure that out. But
who? I just think you went in a time machine for a second.
I did. I called out Horseface from the Broncos. Oh my God. Now I can't think of his name.
That's Sterling Shepard. You're all right, bud.
Shepard. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I had that in my notes, and I'm not sure exactly which way the Giants, I guess it's going to be Golden Tate, will be the beneficiary. But I think they're going to be okay without Saquon.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big Slayton believer, so I'll continue to believe. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. It sucks for Barkley. It sucks for his career right now. It sucks for where he's at. It sucks for everybody playing along. And it's just one of those things, man. This happens every year. You know, somebody goes down that's super, you know, important and impactful. And just, yeah, you got to adjust. Got to stay flexible. This is why you have to draft well, do waivers well, trade well. That's where it comes into play. Adam. Christian McCaffrey, man, high ankle sprain. Luckily, he's not out for the year. This, you know, is I don't think it's been confirmed exactly how long, but we're hoping, obviously, it's, you know, the better end of things. But how I know you're a big McCaffrey guy. You got McCaffrey in a lot of places. You don't have his backup, who you clearly didn't believe in. So what do you do now, man?
I mean, this is why you draft for depth. I mean, ultimately, you know, lucky for us, McCaffrey thinks he's Wolverine. So the 4 to 6 week timetable that's been put on it might be 3 weeks. We'll see. But, you know, you just have to be happy that he's not going to be out for your fantasy playoffs and ultimately try and patch stuff together. Be happy right now you're not in bye weeks yet, because it's going to get real ugly come bye weeks. So you've only got, you know, I think a week before bye weeks start up. So enjoy it while it lasts. But yeah, I mean, you've got to try and fill holes as you can. As far as their backup situation goes, I mean, I guess it's Mike Davis, right? That's what everybody keeps trying to tell me. So I really don't know if you're going to want a backup running back on this Carolina Panthers offense. I don't believe in them. I mean, that's simple. But at the end of the day, fantasy football is all about touches. So, yeah, you probably want those touches, I guess, if you think that's who they're going to go to. But I think that, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Jeremy Chin gets 8 touches and Curtis Samuel gets, you know, a handful of carries. So, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think any of those guys are really going to be that fantasy relevant.
Yeah, Josh, I've seen you believe in guys who shouldn't be relevant, like Duke Johnson, for like a long time.
That's Josh's whole brand.
You don't get to Jared McKinnon if I don't get to Duke Johnson.
So please tell me you believe in Mike Davis and the significant workload that he could pick up here.
Well, See, you got me thinking about my boy Duke now, and now I'm just in a sad, sad place. But Mike Davis got some passing work, and I like that, man. I'm hopeful for Mike Davis. I think that if he's available in your league and you've got the fab, like, you just blow it. You just blow it on Mike Davis, because most of the time your fab is not worth a whole lot. And this season might be different and special, and I don't hate that strategy either, but I'm throwing it all at Mike Davis.
Yeah. We should have got some COVID funds, man. We should have got some extra bid money, man. Cause things is getting crazy.
I just gotta make sure I understand, Josh. So you're going all in on a guy because he got 8 receptions. I get it. But it literally at best he's gonna get next 6 weeks. And you wanna bid all your money on him.
Yeah, I think that's what you hope to get from Fab is 6 weeks of starting RB work.
I guess. First of all, I think it's really questionable what to expect of him. I mean, when you see a guy get that many receptions in a game, you've got to think, oh man, PPR, sky's the limit. But at the end of the day, he saw one carry, so we don't know how much of a workload he can take as a running back in tandem with that. And then if they're rushing him, are they going to utilize him the same way in the passing game? So I don't know. I think it's kind of wild to go all in on somebody like that, but he's floated around the league. I mean, I don't see it.
I'll say this. He played the majority of the snaps when McCaffrey went out. Again, obviously no one was expecting him to go out, but it is what it is. He got the majority of them. He did get a lot of receptions, which, in any other player who's a starter or anything who got 8 receptions, we wouldn't ignore it. And all through camp, man, like, he held that spot. Like, through offseason, everything, like, no one else like took that job from him or pushed him out of the way. Like, it shouldn't have been hard if he's not that great or if they didn't believe in him. You know what I mean? So it just feels like, I don't know, I feel like it says something for the Panthers to keep that as the guy behind McCaffrey. Like, they could have put anybody back there, like someone, even if you could feel more of a McCaffrey style of play or whatever you want to say. But I just feel like at this point, like, they got a guy that they trust. You know what I mean? I feel like that counts for something right now. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like you said, you're talking about whole, Fab and all this kind of stuff, whether that's warranted or not. Obviously, that's going to be up to the person playing here. But as far as, like, his value, I feel like he has value that's probably significant while McCaffrey's out. So I feel good about it. Don't forget, Adam, I got him if you want to trade, man. Just hit me up. Hit that lineup, man. Don't be trying to put his stock down.
I'll be good. If he has 8 receptions next week, I'll definitely eat crow. But yeah. I don't know. All right. Granted, they play the Chargers next week, so it's a matchup of the two overrated offenses, so somebody's bound to come out ahead, but I don't think it's going to be the Panthers against that defense. So
all right, we'll see. I knew I would get Josh on my side. I mean, the guy like Duke Johnson for like 10 years, so it was an easy guy to pull on my side. The next significant injury was Drew Lock, another quarterback here. We've been mostly talking about running backs, but quarterback down, a quarterback in an offense with a lot of weapons that we like, but it's important to mention that also his wide receiver, Cortland Sutton, is out for the season now. So another torn ACL. So this offense just got a hard hit, right? They lost their quarterback for, I don't even know how many weeks. I know it's not for the season, right? But, that is a decent amount of time. And then they lose their top wide receiver for the season. This is a crazy situation. The backup came in, didn't play bad, didn't play, like, I mean, it could have been way worse, I guess. They just signed your boy Bortles, which I didn't want to see that, but it happened. This is a bad situation for people invested in the Broncos offense this year, which some people were really excited about. So how do you guys, I'll let Josh go first. I'm curious how you feel this affects the running backs in Denver. Do you feel like this increases their value now because they're the best options, or that the quarterbacks are going to lean on them, or do you feel like this hurts them because teams now know they got nothing else to go for?
I think that it hurts them because I think that running backs lean on the passing game to put them in the red zone to get the high value touches. Having said that, I'm putting in claims on Royce Freeman everywhere, as well as AJ Hamler, where I can get him, and so on and so forth. Like, where I can pick these guys up for Fab,
yeah,
I'm all about that. But I think that Sutton and Locke being out probably makes the Broncos a shit show.
Yeah, a shit show is probably the best way to put it. I mean, ultimately, for the time that Drew Lock is out, I don't really know if you can start Broncos. Like, I just I don't see how this offense is going to produce fantasy points in any sort of reliable nature. So for me, I mean, while Drew Lock's out, I'm out. And once Drew Lock's back, I mean, I'll be interested to see what he does without Cortland Sutton. I mean, that's a huge hit. I mean, he already had to take the loss of Philip Lindsay, who's a dynamic player for that offense. So for me, like, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Drew Lock can do. But he looked good to start the year. So if he can come back and, you know, get healthy and finish the season, they might have some fantasy value down the stretch. But as of now, I'm basically hands off.
All right, so you're hands off. Josh thinks it's a shit show. There's actually a couple of players there I'm still not mad at having later in this year or during this downtime. So I'll bring up one of them later, though. Let's knock out a couple more of these injury things before we get into the rest of the show because we got a lot to do here. Jimmy Garoppolo, another ankle sprain. How concerned are we, boys?
I mean, that whole team. Like, yeah. What is in the water for San Francisco? It's just... Man,
got back
it's
quick.
It's bad.
Quick.
Except, I mean, you know, your best defensive player, your quarterback, your starting running back, your number two running back, like your number one wide receiver before the season even starts, your tight end, your elite tight end. Like, literally, they're in every elite playmaker on that offense is injured. It's wild.
Yeah, and I didn't mention Raheem because they have Jerick McKinnon, so like I don't care, right?
Yeah, I mean, thank the Lord.
We got Jerick McKinnon, Josh. That's two. Keep tallying them, boy.
I got it. I'm all on right, it. Man. All right, I'm on it.
All right. So, 49ers shit show. The last one I really want. Devontae Adams got a little banged up, hamstring. They haven't really said it whether he's gonna even miss time for that. So I don't think that's too crazy. And then Tyrod Taylor was hurt. This was a lot of controversy because head coach talking about he's not letting the rookie play if Taylor's healthy. A lot of people don't like this. Adam, what camp are you in regards to Tyrod Taylor playing or not playing over the rookie at this point?
I mean, it's just – I don't know. It seems silly to me. I mean, if you look at what happened last week with Tyrod out, they almost beat the defending Super Bowl champions. Like, from an NFL perspective, you gotta look at that and be like, oh, this kid can stand it. Like, obviously, Casey's not known for having like this vaunted defense, but it's still an Andy Reid defense. Like, they're still, you know, a well-coached team and good enough to win a Super Bowl. So it's like, if he was able to, in his NFL debut, play well against what many would think is the best team in the NFL. Like, how can you turn back to Tyrod? It's all this just incumbent nonsense. But, I mean, Justin Herbert's going to have a great career. That's the big takeaway here. So, for me, it's just – you just have to, you know, hope that that's enough.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. It's just I think you just keep the rookie in. Just let him play, man, at this point. But, I mean, like, the coach was adamant on it, man. Like, he was like, hey, listen, the guy's a backup for a reason. And so anyone who's banking on the rookie playing at this point while Taylor's healthy, Tyrod's healthy, it's just not going to happen. So, like, don't get too excited about it. The other two guys I want to mention before we move on is Will Fuller and Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell obviously is out for an indefinite amount of time because of his knee. They didn't say how long yet either. He dodged the whole ACL thing, but still – you know, he's going to be out for a while, which he was a lot of people's baby after the week one. People were getting excited about Paris Campbell, and rightfully so. But he's going to be out for a while. And then Will Fuller, your boy, Adam. He was my boy, but I had a bail on him this year when Hopkins left. You know,
wait, what now?
Yeah, I bailed on him. I'm not going to lie.
You bailed on him.
Not like 100%. Like, I still wanted the guy to do well, but in some dynasty leagues, I moved him.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not concerned. Are you concerned about this one or not too much? So,
I mean,
it's a Will Fuller injury.
it's just, this is what happens every, I mean, this is just Will Fuller 101, guys. You know, he has a game and everybody gets excited and then, oh, he got hurt again. Like, it just, I don't like the injury prone label, but there's some guys where it's just, it's undeniable.
Yep. And this is why you should have drafted Cobb. right, Josh?
Man, I drafted a lot of
excuse me? Wait a second, guys. Isn't there like another wide receiver on that team who I might have been touting?
I'm ignoring
everybody told me he was terrible.
Yeah, I'm ignoring him. What? I'm ignoring him.
Who's that? Who's that guy?
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. He's gonna be pretty reliable for any time that Will Fuller misses or is hobbled. Definitely liking how that's working out.
Josh, tell him who really matters. Randall Cobb.
I want it to be Randall Cobb, but why hasn't Randall Cobb done it in the first 2 weeks? Like I'm letting the flame go out.
All right.
And also I want to say this, like the coach, I think it's Anthony Lynn in
yes.
LA, not letting Herbert play is total bullshit. Like this is just how coaches perpetuate the illusion that they matter by holding back guys that are ready to play because they don't know my books yet. So I can't let them go out and win games. Like it's just Herbert should be playing.
I feel you, man. We all agree with you, man. Lynn's gotta do what Lynn's gotta do, man. Well, it is what it is, man. All right, that covers it for the injuries. That was a while of injuries, and there was just a lot of big important injuries, so we had to do it. One big signing we want to mention really quick, Devonta Freeman. I don't know how much you guys care about this. I actually drafted Devonta Freeman in some leagues, Scott Fishbowl most notably, for a moment like this, for him to sign somewhere and hopefully be relevant. But a lot of people don't feel like Devonta Freeman is relevant in this backfield. So, Adam, what is your take on Devonta Freeman really fast in the Giants backfield?
Do we want to just jump into the first trust issues? Because, I mean, that's really – it's all included, yeah, right?
Let's do it. Trust issues, any running back in the Giants backfield. Adam.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up because I think that Devonta Freeman definitely profiles as potentially the back to own in that backfield. I mean, he has the most history of being a three-down workhorse. I mean – you can't really say that about Deion Lewis, but Deion Lewis, I think, is entrenched in the offense as a pass catcher already. So you have Devonta Freeman kind of coming into a situation where I don't think he's going to get enough snaps. Truly, I don't think you can trust anyone in this backfield, but Devonta probably has the biggest chance to have a, you know, three-down workload, and I think Deion Lewis probably has the highest floor of any of their running backs.
Yeah, I'm not listening to this Wayne Gallman stuff. Josh, what do you think about that?
I'm putting in like super cheap bids. He's available everywhere, so I want to have him just for a like a war of attrition type of situation where everybody else gets hurt. But I think Devonta Freeman is the best answer. If I could just pick one for the same price, it would definitely be Devonta Freeman.
And none of us really trust a running back in this backfield, even Devonta Freeman. Is that correct?
I mean, I want to say I trust Deion Lewis to continually be targeted, but I don't really think that that's like there's nobody who's start worthy even in PPR. So like, yeah,
okay,
it's pretty relevant.
Okay, all right, cool. The next trust issue: first round running backs through 2 weeks. Derrick Henry is the RB25. Joe Mixon is RB34. Both still every week starters the rest of the way. Trust or trust issues, Josh.
I trust Derrick Henry a whole lot more than I trust Joe Mixon. I mean, Derrick Henry is getting the volume at the least. Joe Mixon, unless I'm mistaken, he's outside of the top 24 in expected points for running back. So, like, it's looking bad. Even though Joe Burrow is looking good, I don't know. Joe Mixon might just stink.
I'm happy to say I have zero Joe Mixon shares. I didn't buy the hype when everyone got excited because as you know, many people love Joe Mixon coming into this season. I mean, they had their reasons, but I was like, listen, I'm not buying it. It's not happening. So I didn't buy any. I know, Adam, did you buy any this year?
I don't really own Joe Mixon anywhere, but it's funny because for this question, like I keep trusting both these guys. I mean, 2 weeks is a pretty small sample size in my opinion. And from what I'm seeing from the Bengals offense, like it's a positive that Joe Burrow can conduct the offense this well.
Right.
It's just going to be simple touchdown regression that pushes them to have rushing touchdowns over the three passing touchdowns they've had so far. So, I mean, if you look at last week, for instance, Joe Mixon had 86 total yards with four receptions. If he scores a touchdown, we're not having this conversation. So for me, it's really just touchdown variance, and I think that's going to fall back in his direction. And as that offense gets better, as Burrow gets more used to that offense, I mean, guys, this is what he's doing in his second week in the league when he had no preseason and a ridiculous shortened training camp. Like, this kid is the real deal. It's amazing to watch. I mean, the fact they let him throw the ball 61 times this week, that's just something else. But, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. Burrow is going to lift up this offense, and Joe Mixon is going to be a benefactor of that eventually. And as far as Derrick Henry is concerned, I mean, I don't – the offense there is successful not utilizing him in, like, this dynamic way, but he's still getting a ton of touches. So, really, I mean, he's just struggling. And you got to wonder, from what we've seen in the past, if, like, he gets better as the year goes on, as well as defenses get, you know, worse. So – He's gonna smash eventually. I mean, that's just the Derrick Henry story. But for right now, I think, you know, he's one of the guys that you're gonna start every week, but I wouldn't be shocked if you're disappointed one or two more times over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. I'll say this about these two backs, and I don't know if it makes sense, but if I have them, I wouldn't trade them. But if I don't have them, I wouldn't trade for them necessarily. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's where I'm
but
at.
I think
them.
Really the question is, are you benching these guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Because I think that's going to be the hardest decision, and I don't really know that I can.
Yeah, I wouldn't bench them.
So, like, let me just correct myself. Joe Mixon was in there. He's at 12. But ahead of him, we have Josh Kelly. If you have Josh Kelly, are you sitting Joe Mixon?
No way in hell.
I don't know, man. Like, it's debatable, I think.
I don't think so.
I mean, production-wise, so far, it's debatable. But just off of, you know, what logically makes sense, it doesn't. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do Josh Kelly right now over Mixon in my lineup. I would still hold out hope that Mixon is going to, you know, come around as this offense continues, you know, Burrow continues to do better here. But it definitely is one of those weird situations where, like, these guys that people draft later on waivers or whatever kind of league you're in are outproducing these guys who people drafted in the first round. It's just weird. And you just have to, you know, do you take those gambles and those risks and start, you know, a Josh Kelly? What about a guy like James Robinson? Like, do you start him over Joe Mixon?
He's getting a ton of touches.
Yeah.
I mean, James Robinson is getting a ton of work, but I don't know how you do it.
You got to take these shots, right, Josh?
I think I still want Mixon over Robinson, but the company that Mixon is in is, you know, it's Nick Chubb, it's Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Chris Carson. Like, it's not where we thought he would be at the beginning of the year. I think his stock is going down, and I don't know. I don't know if Joe Burrow pulls his stock up. I think I want off of Joe Mixon's ride.
Yeah, I can't say that this soon. But I know what you're saying. If it keeps heading down this path, you're not excited about it anymore. And I hear you. But I just can't, I think we can't overreact to the 2 weeks here. I think it'd be too crazy to say, like, dump them right now, trade them right now. Like, it might be too soon. But hey, to each their own. Some people might get a great deal for Joe Mixon. Who knows? Let's move on. Late round quarterbacks through 2 weeks: Gardner Minshew, Ryan Tannehill, and Joe Burrow all are top 12 quarterbacks. At least one will finish as a top 10 quarterback at the end of the season. Trust or trust issues with this, Josh?
Joe Burrow, I think, will. And, God, who were the other two that you said?
Gardner Minshew and Ryan Tannehill.
I don't think that either one of them finishes top 10.
Why? Because of talent, weapons, team, offense, what?
Well, yeah, Minshew doesn't have a lot of help. DJ Chark is his really primary wide receiver, and Chark is off to a slow start, I think it's fair to say. So, like, who's helping Minshew get there? The only guy that I think has a chance of doing it is Joe Burrow, from what I've seen so far. And that's even – That's even with AJ Green just being absolutely dust.
Disrespectful. You're disrespectful.
Adam. The guy had 13 targets, and I don't think he put up more yards than Drew Sample did.
Listen.
He's done.
My thing is this, Adam. You put this on here, right? I mean, these guys are all top 12 right now. What is Josh missing here, man? Is there a chance that one of these guys are top 10, or are you with him, Joe Burrow or bust here?
No, I think this is an interesting question. So all are top 12 currently. All this upcoming week could finish top 10. They all have fantastic matchups. Joe Burrow gets the Eagles, who have been struggling and injured. You know, Gardner Minshew gets the Dolphins, who aren't great. And Ryan Tannehill might have the best matchup against the Vikings. So these guys all, just even this upcoming week, feel like must-start guys. As far as how they're going to end the season, I want to say Joe Burrow. I really do. I mean, as tough as it is for a rookie quarterback, from what he's shown through the first 2 weeks, he's the farthest thing from a rookie in, you know, the grand scheme of things. I mean, he has a elite understanding of this offense already, it seems like. So I think he definitely has a shot at it. Gardner and Ryan Tannehill, though, they've played better than him so far. So for me, I mean, I'm probably with Josh. I think Burrow probably has the best chance of finishing top 10. But I think all these guys end up finishing top 15.
Yeah, there's definitely a real possibility there. I mean, right now in the top 10 is Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Cam Newton, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Gardner Minshew, and Ryan Tannehill. So guys that I didn't name are guys like Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, you know, Tom Brady, if you feel like he can get there, Jared Goff.
Lamar Jackson.
Like, these are guys who aren't in the top 10 right now. So, like, are you going to bet that Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson are not going to replace these guys by end of season? Like, I won't put money on that. So, yeah, I'm not putting any of these guys in the top 10 finishing the season. So, I definitely have trust issues with it.
I think it's safe to say, though, that unless things change very, very much very soon, people who drafted Mahomes and Jackson as early as they had to be drafted are going to be disappointed. Like, that was a bad move.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks is a pretty small sample size, but I think I can see that more potentially with Mahomes than Jackson, even though Mahomes is currently outscoring Jackson, only if they do, you know, rely on CEH more than they've relied on the running game in the past. But I think, I don't know, I think both those guys, everybody should regret where they were being drafted, because we know that late round quarterback is a elite strategy. And if you invested in guys like Cam Newton or Josh Allen, you're feeling fantastic. Yep. Or even Gardner Minshew or Ryan Tannehill or Joe Burrow, all guys that we've talked about. So they're all scoring right around Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson through the first 2 weeks. So we'll see how much that holds up. But yeah, I mean, this is why you don't draft quarterbacks early. It's just not worth it.
100%. All right, last one we have here for trust issues. Wide receiver twos on their own team. Through 2 weeks, Calvin Ridley, Robbie Anderson, and Corey Davis lead their team in fantasy points. At least one will finish atop their team in fantasy points at wide receiver. Trust or trust issues, Josh?
If I had to pick one, it's going to be Calvin Ridley, but that's gross.
So do you trust that one of those three will finish atop their team?
No.
No?
No, I don't. I would rather bet on Julio, DJ Moore, and I'm sorry, the third name gets away from me. Oh,
Corey Davis or AJ Brown.
Well, it's Corey Davis, so it's AJ Brown.
Oh, AJ Brown. No. Corey Davis. I would like to be, you know, cheering for Corey Davis, but it should have happened by now, folks. Like, it's the AJ Brown show.
I don't know, man. I will mention, since we're talking about Corey Davis right now, Justin, who sent in the question last week, Justin Stevens, about Corey Davis, and Adam, you know, crapped all over it. He said that he has another question for this show, specifically for Adam. And he said, in light of the touchdown reception in week two and the big week one game, is there any chance that we get a coveted fourth year breakout of Corey Davis? And he said, yes, I am trolling him until we have a bad game.
Still denying this.
All right.
It is wild to me. I mean, you know, To be fair, though, I also was somebody who coming into this year, it's, as much as I saw the potential for Janu, I definitely didn't think that, you know, he was going to be a guy who'd be a top three tight end through 2 weeks. So there's definitely, you know, some dynamics to that offense that I didn't see coming. I mean, I don't think a lot of people saw them, you know, not having a ton of success with Henry. So there's a lot of things happening, but it's a real small sample size. I'm still not. I mean, obviously, at this point, if you have Corey Davis, you're probably starting him. Enjoy while it lasts. I don't have faith that it's going to last long.
All right. There you have it, Justin. You still maintaining this stubborn stance. He's still being stubborn about this. I will say that I do trust Calvin Ridley actually being atop his team's fantasy points at the end of the season. I'm here. I'm all for it, man. I trust it. I totally trust it. I have no issue saying I trust that. Call me crazy, but I trust it. Guys,
I think Calvin Ridley is the one that, like, I can definitely get on board with. I mean, already, you know, he's way ahead, so that definitely helps. But the one that's interesting to me here is Robbie Anderson. I mean, what is it with Adam Gase? He zaps players' superpowers, and then as soon as they leave him, they gain their superpowers back, and they just are phenomenal. I mean, obviously, DJ Moore is a hell of a receiver to try and overcome, but Robbie Anderson, man, I don't know if he's just built for that offense. I mean, obviously, I don't really trust that offense overall regardless, but it's been impressive to see what he's done through 2 weeks. I don't think that I'd bet on him to outscore DJ Moore the rest of the way, but I think that they're going to be way closer than anyone ever expected.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a big play guy, man. Like, he's getting a ton of targets, so it's not even about the big plays at this point, but like, he does get the big plays, and when he does stuff with the ball, like most guys can't do, he makes big plays happen. And when you're giving a guy 10 damn targets in a game that has that ability, like, the chances are they go up a lot, you know what I mean, for him to make that big play. So he's hard not to like right now, man. And people, you know, were on it, you know. He, you know, his that was his college coach too, by the way. So like, he knew what he was getting when he drafted, when he signed him stuff. So we'll see, man. We'll see if it continues. I don't see why it would stop, but I know it's killing a guy like Josh over here, DJ Moore guy. But we'll see. We'll see how it continues to roll. Let's jump over to the not so obvious lock of the week. Jerick McKinnon, reminder for everybody here. I picked him last week, and so I won. And so now Josh and me both have championships through 2 weeks, and Adam doesn't. I mean, someone had to not be a winner at this point, Adam. So don't take it too bad, you know? Don't take it too hard at this point. Like, it's all right. Don't feel too bad yet. As this continues and you don't stack a W up, then you're going to have to concern yourself with this. But for those who don't know, we are just going to give you guys each one not so obvious lock of the week. These are guys that we feel aren't obvious. Very clearly, it's not being told to you on every single website to play this guy. These are more than likely flex guys at best, you know, and it plays out how it plays out. Josh won week one, I week two. So I'm going to start this week. So you guys, I don't even have to worry about you stealing my guy, because no one would even say this guy here probably, especially after the way you guys just shitted on his team earlier, who's dealing with a bunch of injuries. My guy is KJ Hamler, rookie wide receiver for the Broncos. We mentioned earlier, Sutton is done for the season. Sutton is done for the season, Adam. Listen, he's done for the season. Mm-hmm. I already had a thing for Hamler. He's on a bunch of my teams already, so I already felt good about Hamler's prospects. But this injury, of course, makes it much easier for me to believe an immediate impact, make an immediate adjustment. Now you're going to say they have a bad quarterback, it's not Drew Lock, blah, 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 blah. Listen, they like him. They were targeting him. I believe in what coaches say too. I don't care about the coach speak stuff that you guys run and hide from. They like him. They're excited about him. And he's good. He's an explosive playmaker, man. I want guys who get targets, who the team gives the opportunity to make explosive plays. He has game-breaking speed, man. So give me this guy all day long. I'll put him in my slot this week for the flex with no problem. I'm not even scared about it. I'm not worried about it. And I believe in him for my not-so-obvious lock of the week. Now,
yeah, it's a great pick. It's almost like somebody else already was going to pick him. That was good, man.
Oh!
I'll add some stuff here because, I was also on Hamler. the biggest thing to me is the relationship with Jeff Driskel playing with the twos basically throughout camp. I mean, Hamler had flashes where he was with the ones, then he was injured. So they like what this kid can do. They're in that stage now where they're probably just going to be looking to see what they have on that offense. So, yeah, I like that pick a lot. But since you stole mine, I did have a backup, and I'm not going to look for a third if Josh is thinking of stealing this one. My pick this week's Drew Sample. From what we've seen from Joe Burrow through the first 2 weeks, he really likes to utilize the tight end position. And Drew Sample out-targeted CJ Uzama last week. And it's a deep pick, but they're going up against the Eagles. Tyler Higbee scored 3 touchdowns against them last week. It seems like the Eagles are the new tight end sieve. So for me, it was kind of a toss-up to really decide between Sample and Uzama. But I just think from just a pure targets perspective that I like Sample. I think either of those guys are worthy of like a deep flex or, you know, a tight end streaming start this week. But for me, I'm gonna put my money behind Sample, so he'll probably score like 4 fantasy points.
Nah, I mean, hey,
he's gonna get 12 targets on his way to those 4 fantasy points, though.
I sure hope he pulls an AJ Green.
Hey, that's a not so obvious lock of the week. And let this be known for us going forward. Hey, if you don't win, man, if you don't win the week before, you don't get to go first, and therefore your pick is in danger of being chosen before you. So some more extra motivation to, you know, maybe win a week, Adam, you know?
It's fair. Just throw the idea. I'll get there eventually, guys.
Eventually. Not with Drew Sample, but you'll get there eventually.
One of these weeks.
Josh, what do you got, man?
Okay, mine is not as deep. It's not as deep. But I feel like it is a choice that fantasy managers like myself have to make. And if you have CeeDee Lamb on a roster, like, fire him up, put him in your flex. You're starting CeeDee Lamb the rest of the way. I think I'm very encouraged by what I saw.
The guy who went 6 for 106. Man,
this guy's
got any other brain busters for us?
This guy, listen, man, this guy,
understand what the segment is.
This is
know what not so obvious means.
When I started Greg Olson, you guys criticized me.
And you won! That's the brilliance of the not so obvious lock of the week. You're supposed to say something that we ridicule on the podcast, and then you come back the next week and you laugh in our faces like Neil has done the whole podcast with Jared McKinnon.
That counts. Put that down on the board for me. He said Jared McKinnon.
If I have to go just a little bit deeper, I'm going Josh Kelly.
I like it. That's not super deep, but we'll take it.
We're going to start taking points off of Josh for these half-ass picks.
I mean, it's all relative because, you know, when you make picks like that, they've got to score more points. Joshua Kelly put up 12 PPR points, 13 PPR points last week. So, I mean, when you're saying Joshua Kelly, I'm hearing like 16 plus PPR points.
All right, how about this? How about this? When Josh plays not so obvious lock of the week, let's put this out there for people that are listening. If you play in one league and it's an ESPN league and it's a 10-team league, Josh is giving you your not so obvious lock of the week. If you play in 10 leagues a season and they have like 14 teams and it's really deep and all that kind of stuff, me and Adam are giving you your plays. So Adam, Josh is, you know,
we're helping everybody. Yeah. Actually. That's a good way to think about
it. Yeah. We're spreading the audience out here, man. We're giving everybody a shake here. You know what I'm saying? So we appreciate it, Josh. We appreciate it. All right. So
if you drafted CeeDee Lamb, you probably have been holding on, you know, through one very tough week, waiting for the chance to start him, and it's here.
All right. But, you know, Joshua Kelly, CeeDee Lamb, you can have them both, man. You know, you're in this 10-team ESPN league. It doesn't matter. You can have them both. Drew Sample, KJ Hamler, those are our picks. Josh can have 2 if he wants to handicap this thing and give him a chance. All right, let's move over to – can he do that again? You guys don't even see this on your nose because I didn't give it to you. That's cool.
I'm so glad you still included this, though. This is my favorite segment.
All right, cool. That's awesome. That's what I like to hear. All right, so the first one, James Robinson, top 10 scoring running back. Can he do it again? Adam?
I'm going to say yes this week. I mean, they've got a good matchup against the Dolphins. That offense is looking good. I mean, they seem like they're rolling, and they're using Robinson as a workhorse. I mean, the amount of touches he's seen through the first 2 weeks, it's shocking. And I love that. I mean, I didn't draft much towards the very end, but I got in a lot of DraftKings best ball drafts in like the last 2 weeks. And he was a last round pick in so many of those drafts for me. And during this whole running back apocalypse, he's going to be one of those guys that people just smash on. So I think that this is a great week for him. And in seasonal leagues, I feel like, yeah, you got to be starting him.
All right. So Adam believes he could do it again. Josh, do you see a top 10 scoring running back week in James Robinson again?
No, I don't. All right. He's coming back down to earth.
Oh, right? Crashing back down. Crashing.
Yeah. He's 15th in opportunities, you know, 32nd in targets, 26th in expected points per game. Like, he's coming back down.
All right. So it's a top 10 scoring running back week for James Robinson. Doesn't get you excited, Josh. Let me ask you the next one then. Stephon Diggs and John Brown, both top 15 scoring wide receivers. Can they do it again?
Top 15 is tough, man. I wish you would say top 24.
That's too easy.
I'll go top 15, both of them. They're going to do it.
Nice. Adam, what do you think here, man?
Oh, man, I think that I forgot to take a victory lap for John Brown. He was my most owned best ball wide receiver, and he is crushing it, and I love it. Cole Beasley was my number two. Not as crushing it, but really for his ADP, also crushing it. So, yeah, Buffalo's been fantastic so far. But can both those guys finish top 15? I mean, who are they playing this week? They're playing the Rams. God, that game could shoot out. Yeah, the upside's there. I'd say I wouldn't. Yeah, no, I'm like with Josh on this, but I'm going to side the other direction. Like, if it was top 24, I'd probably say yes. But top 15, I can't see it. It doesn't get there for me, but one of these weeks, John Brown's going to outscore Diggs. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Diggs is dominating. Yeah. How about some love for Stephon Diggs, bro?
Like, dude, it makes the Vikings just look so bad for not understanding how to utilize him and not being able to, because with Josh Allen, he looks like a top five receiver in the NFL. Like, everybody thought he was going to be. And I'm pissed because I traded him in all my dynasty leagues back when he was a Viking.
Yeah.
And now this shit, it's ridiculous. It's so frustrating. But it is. Hats off to him, man. Yeah. I mean, he is a talent.
Yeah, we've all been big fans of Stephon Diggs here. So there's nothing new to us here. We all expected greatness previously. So it's nice to see it happening now. This guy was actually on the list last week for the opposite situation. So Aaron Rodgers scoring outside the top 15 quarterbacks. Can it happen again? Either one of you.
It definitely can, yeah. That's his offense. I mean, you can't think that he is super reliable going forward. That being said, he plays the Saints next week, and as we saw from Derek Carr, the Saints are beatable. So it'll be interesting to see. I would say for next week, yeah, I'll put him in the top 15.
Okay, so scoring outside the top 15, Josh, do you think he can fall that far again?
If Davante Adams is out, I think that Aaron Rodgers will also be outside of the top 15.
All right, mm-hmm. All right. The last one I have for can he do that again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire scoring outside the top 25 running backs. Can he do that again, Adam?
I sure hope not. Man, talk about a Jekyll and Hyde kind of day. But with them going up against the Ravens on Monday night, like, that's going to be such a huge game. Man, I'm going to say no. I think he definitely finishes inside the top 24, but I would not be surprised if this is definitely like a bottom half of that top 24 kind of week for him. I don't see him going off and having some gigantic performance.
Yeah, that defense is the real fucking deal. Josh, how do you feel about this one?
You know, I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to be inside.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he bounces back. Right. He's getting the opportunity. I'm hoping that the Ravens are just a tougher passing defense than a rushing defense.
Gotcha. Yeah, I feel good about it too. We'll see how it plays out. That is a real deal defense, so it's not out of the equation that that's going to be a problem. All right, let's bounce over to listener questions. We have a real Raiders themed listener questions. I felt good that I wasn't the one pumping the Raiders onto the show. The listeners were. So shout out to the listeners who know me so well that wanted to graciously make this an enjoyable episode for me. So besides Jerick McKinnon, Beryl Joffrey asked us.
Got it.
At Beryl Joffrey, our boy, said, who's the tight end one and why is it Darren Waller? Adam, how do you feel about this, man?
He very well might be the tight end too while George Kittle's out. But Travis Kelce, quietly, meanwhile, Darren Waller making ton of noise. Johnny Smith, ton of noise. Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, ton of noise. All those guys are top five, but who sits atop them? Travis Kelce, as always, forever. Dude's a lock.
Forever.
Like, I mean, literally, go back over the last 4 years. He's the tight end one, tight end two, all the time. So for me, yeah, it's Travis Kelce. But, I mean, Darren Waller is a must start every week. You've got to feel phenomenal about him. I know we feel phenomenal because all of us were big Darren Waller guys this year. I own him in a bunch of leagues. So, yeah, I mean, he, you know, he is that offense.
Yeah,
it's him and Josh Jacobs. That's that offense. And you know, what Las Vegas has figured out is that's how you win in the NFL. You just find guys that dominate and you just give them the ball until the defense can stop them. And if they can't, you just keep doing it. It's simple. And I'm shocked that John Gruden figured it out. But like, I'll wax poetic a little bit because I was texting with Neil about it. Like, the Raiders are impressive. You have to admit, after the first 2 weeks of this season, you can see they've built an offense that Carr can actually run. Don't act like Carr's a good quarterback. We'll get to that in a minute. I know there's another question coming up on him. But as far as building an offense around a quarterback and around your skill position players, they're doing that exactly how you'd want. And they are a funnel offense. So for fantasy, Waller and Josh Jacobs are huge smashes this year.
Yeah, I appreciate the good words there, Adam. I mean, you're speaking so hot. You know, the Raiders, this is very uncharacteristic of
you. It's frustrating. I don't even like it. But it's true, man. You got to give credit where credit is due. Gruden has done a great job building that offense around his talent.
Yeah, I do want to share this too. This little Bill Belichick had an interview, you know, his little interview today, his press conference, because they're playing the Raiders this week. And he was asked, how good of a tight end is Darren Waller and how tough of a matchup? And this is Bill Belichick's response. And obviously, we know he talks up the opponents to make them feel good and catch them sleeping a little bit. But this is what he said. He said, yeah, he's really, really tough. I think it's been such a long time since we've seen a guy like this. He's really got great receiver skills, played receiver. He's got a lot of length like a big receiver does, but he's got very good quickness and he blocks very competitively. He's not afraid to mix it up, so he does more than a receiver playing tight end, but he's got all the skills that can come inside. He's a very good inside receiver, which sometimes the wideouts have trouble making that move in there. He's really been impressive to watch. We saw him last year, looked at him in the offseason, and you just see him doing everything, playing wide, playing the backfield, playing tight end, running deep, catch and run plays, blocking, flash plays, point of attack plays. So very versatile player, pretty unique guy in the league. There's some really good tight ends, but nobody really does more than this guy does, and he does it very well. He's got excellent hands and makes a lot of tough catches. He's definitely a matchup problem. Now, I know he talks this up. I know he does this to everybody. But I feel like there's value there in what he's saying. Like, it's legitimate, right? And I just wanted to, you know, try to throw some more love to Darren Waller, man, because you guys know I've been on it 2-3 years now, whenever the Raiders were bringing him on. And so I feel really good to see him having success like this. And his story, you know, his struggles with drug abuse and all this kind of stuff, it just makes it even that much more better. So, yeah, man, shout out to Darren Waller. Shout out to Darren Waller. Josh, do you want to dispute Bill Belichick?
No, not at all. Okay. I remember when people were so out on Darren Waller because of some Hunter Renfrow splits or some crap like that at the end of last year. And I was not in that group of people, and I'm not them now.
Nice.
Darren Waller is for real.
He's for real. Next question, at your boy Rich. Jay Rich. What up, Jay Rich? He said, when will the Derek Carr slander stop? I feel that this question is best directed towards Adam because he's the only one here who really slanders Derek Carr. So have Adam.
This is super simple. Okay. So what has happened here is John Gruden has built an offense around Derek Carr to thrive, and it is thriving from an NFL level. Derek Carr is not a good fantasy quarterback, and I can prove it. Through the first 2 weeks of this season, Derek Carr is QB 17. Last year, in all of 2019, what was Derek Carr? QB 17. In 2018, through the entirety of the year, what did he finish as? He finished QB 18, one off from that. This is what he is. I mean, he's not anything different. But what's great is they've built an offense that can actually thrive around him. So he's probably going to be a more reliable weekly starter, but he doesn't have a big ceiling. I just don't see it, like, from a fantasy perspective. For me, he's a QB2. He's a guy who has spot start potential. But ultimately, I mean, he is who I thought he was all along. He's an NFL journeyman who now has a system that's being built around him that's effective because they have great playmakers, and they're just force-feeding him the ball, which is fantastic. They keep doing that, he'll keep producing in the relative way that he has so far, which is as a high-end QB2, which I think is essentially what he'll always be for fantasy.
I'll tell you what, I'm taking all those Derek Carr points in Scott Fishbowl. All those nice, cheap Derek Carr points.
That's interesting. I'm looking up where he's in Scott Fishbowl through 2 weeks, because that's a totally different format, and that definitely makes things more interesting.
Over 70% completion, over 500 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions this year so far, over 100 QB rating every single week. I mean, the guy is just doing it all, man. Like, he's perfect for that setup, especially for Scott Fishbowl with 0 interceptions. It's just a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. Josh, yeah, I know you were feeling Derek Carr coming into the year, right?
Yeah, listen, Derek Carr is just – he's so crapped on. And the reality is he's in this gray area of sameness with, you know, 80% of the other quarterbacks in the league. And when Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs take off, they're going to drag him up. Like, it's – people just want to sell the story that Derek Carr is so bad, when in reality he's just like every other quarterback in the league except for maybe 4 of them.
Not to mention he threw a touchdown to Nelson Aguilar and then Zay Jones in week 2. So, you know, that takes some talent in itself. Aguilar didn't drop that ball. He didn't drop Derek Carr's footballs yet. So, you know, I'll take that as a positive. I really don't want to give Adam any left more ammunition here to keep building the case against Carr. So, Adam, do you have anything else to say before we move on?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
let it go.
He is who we thought he was.
Let it go. He's a good quarterback. And if you're in Scott Fishbowl and you drafted him super late, congratulations for believing in the guy. And shout out to Jay Rich for the question. Shout out to everyone sending Raider questions. You guys are amazing. At @Austin_G_H, during the preseason, the Jaguars were projected to be like the #1 pick in the 2021 draft. After 2 weeks, who would you guys project to get it right now? Anyone stand out? Jets?
Yeah, J-E-T-S, Jets.
Which is pretty weird because, like, because, you know, the quarterback is the main draw in the draft. I mean, are they going to move away from Sam Darnold for Trevor Lawrence? It's weird.
I mean, they just need to move away from the coaching staff. But basically. Yeah, that is ultimately what will happen if they end up with the first overall pick. I mean, I think, you know, some other teams that are in contention – actually, man, who's even 0-2 now?
Broncos. I mean,
the Broncos, probably, yeah.
The Dolphins could do it. The Vikings.
The Dolphins have a failsafe because once they start to, I think they start winning games, it'll happen eventually. So
Bengals, Texans, they're both 0-2 as well, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants maybe, like, but, you know, it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of 0-2 teams, don't get me wrong, but there's not a lot that are worse than the Jets. That's for damn sure. So yeah. That to me is definitely the front runners, and it's hilarious because Sam Darnold isn't bad. He's just stuck in the worst offense ever.
Did you?
And go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you see that play he made last week?
Yeah,
man,
I definitely have the Braxton Berrios touchdown. Yeah. That thing's
filthy.
Insane. I mean, he threw. He throws a ball like it almost looks like a corner kick's taken in soccer. Like, it has beautiful spin on it. It arcs just perfectly right into his hands and, you know, does it after evading a sack and moving in the opposite direction. It's beautiful. But it's an Adam Gase offense.
Yep. So Jets are our pick, Austin. Jets are our pick across the board. last one we had here from at Rupert Fiction, a fellow Raider fan as well. Over or under that the Raiders will outscore their opponents 7.5 more times this season. The season over under is 9.5. So do you guys feel like the Raiders will continue to outscore opponents here, man? Or you guys think this will slow down at some pace? I know Adam said the season was going to start off really rough. So far, they're 2-0. We'll see how this continues, you know, if they continue this hot streak or if they, you know, slowly deteriorate here. But are either of you confident enough to say over as this Raiders offense seems to be exploding, or do you feel like this will come back down to earth as well?
This question's wording is just a really creative way to say wins.
Yeah, basically.
It's very interesting. But nonetheless, like, yeah, I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. My fear with the Raiders is that they got off to a really terrible start. Obviously, beating the Saints is gigantic for that. The next 3 weeks, they've got really tough matchups against the Patriots, the Bills, and the Chiefs. But after that, man, it gets winnable. It gets really, really winnable for this team. I mean, with how they've played so far, you've got to think. I mean, on top of that, I think their bye is week 6. So they get a bye after these tough 3 games. So even if they start 2-3, then they get a bye week. They get to kind of, you know, figure things out again. And then they have an opportunity down the stretch. They have a lot of winnable games against teams that, as of now, they probably should beat. And looking at their schedule, man, I'm thinking 10 wins is definitely a possibility.
Man, how crazy is it, Josh, that these guys...
It's crazy.
Listen, these guys, Josh, have Cam Newton, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes coming up the next 3 weeks. And this guy just shit all over Derek Carr, so I can't, you know... This is not going to look good quarterback-wise. What do you think?
I think that in the next 3 weeks, they're going to win somehow, some way, one of these games. And then I think they're going to be like a 9-win team.
Damn. Adam, do you think they can win one of these games? Would you give that to them?
I don't. I think they end up going 2-3, but it wouldn't shock me. I mean, after they beat the Saints, that's a pretty big win, even without Michael Thomas, which obviously changes things. But it was a big win. I mean, we all saw it. They look great. And, you know, they obviously look great against Carolina, which is an inferior team, in my opinion. But that being said, like, they've looked great through 2 weeks. There's not really a lot that you can say other than, you know, they look great, but they're about to play teams that look even better, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. We will see. And the last question I did have here, I got another bonus one here from Austin because he said it's not a victory lap. It's a serious question. But he said after facing the same Tampa Bay defense, DJ Moore has proven without a doubt that he is better than Michael Thomas, who struggled, obviously, against that defense in week 1. I know this is a question Josh likes to see, right? DJ Moore, man, what do you think here, man?
I think that DJ Moore has cemented himself as a top 10 dynasty wide receiver, and he's coming. So just get ready.
Man, I'll tell you what, Drew Brees struggled against the Raiders, man. And I'm obviously not trying to give that credit to the Raiders. Like, Michael Thomas not being there clearly mattered, but like, dude, he was like missing targets left and right. Emmanuel Sanders was dropping balls all over the place. Like, I was super surprised. Like, as a Raider fan, I'm obviously on the edge of my seat every second. I'm thinking, how can Brees not come back in this game? You know what I mean? And it was just like, man, it just didn't happen. It was crazy to watch, actually. And it was kind of a weird stat. They said that he's never came back from a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter, except one time.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see that.
I was like, what? As much as I that's crazy. As much as we hear about Drew Brees, that's a weird stat for him. All right.
Well, like, I feel like I'm letting Austin down. Like, in Dynasty, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore.
Wow.
I mean, it's dumb, but it's the dumb thing you've been saying all year, so I'm glad that you're sticking to your guns.
Maybe we got to give DeAndre Hopkins some credit.
Because I mean, I was talking earlier that Robbie Anderson might have overtaken him, so I'm definitely not on board, but whatever.
Classic. All right. That's it, Austin. We appreciate the question. We appreciate Josh sticking to his DJ Moore fandom. All right, foul or no foul, let's knock these out. I got three of them. We'll do show and tell after that, and then we're out of here. Foul or no foul, the NFL is right for levying almost $2 million in mask fines in week two. Adam, foul or no foul? How do you feel about this, man?
I'm opting out.
You're opting out.
Yeah, the question.
All right, you don't want to answer. I know my COVID guy here would love to answer this. Josh, our COVID correspondent.
Yeah, like I think you set the rules and then you enforce the rules. And it's not like these guys were not informed of the rules.
This is a fact.
Like, let's just take the $2 million or whatever amount it is that we are fining them and give it to a good cause and everybody wins.
That money does go to charity, right?
I doubt it. That's I bet it goes to like owners getting richer.
Yeah. But I don't know if you guys seen the report speaking of COVID about like what the government did with like $1 billion. We're not even going to go there. But yeah, that's the only problem I have with it is where does that money go exactly? But other than that, you know, like you said, follow the rules, bro. Follow the rules. Next one I have here, one was sent in by Austin, actually. Calvin Ridley has a significant chance to break into the top five or better for a single season receiving touchdown record. Foul or no foul, Adam? Oof, you don't get to opt out of two of them.
I don't think he has a chance. I'm trying to think like what the top five is. Because a single season record, that's Randy Moss. Was it 18? Might even be higher than that. No, it's definitely higher than that.
Yeah, it's higher than that.
Man, what?
You're slacking.
I was
you're
off,
slacking.
But
you're
I slacking. Haven't even gotten there. But now I'm like thinking back, and I'm like, no, he had like almost two a game, or he had more than two a game. But yeah, I'll have it eventually.
So yeah, single season record for touchdowns is what? I should have had this in front of me actually. It is Randy Moss, I think, but I can't. Why can't I only have the number here? Let me see. Hold on. Randy Moss, 23.
I just don't think that a Calvin Ridley type player is going to be the type that does that kind of a record.
Well, let me give you the top five and how much they had. Randy Moss, 23. Jerry Rice, 22. Mark Clayton had 18. Sterling Sharp, who Josh mentioned earlier, had 18. And Chris Carter was tied with a bunch of guys for 17. So, I mean, that's where you're at. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's dope looking at this list because then Randy Moss shows up again twice with 17. Yeah. Jesus.
Look at some of these names, too. Braylon Edwards is on here. That's awesome. Mushi Muhammad. Some interesting names on here.
Yeah, I mean, he's already got four. So we're saying he would have to get 14 more through the stretch. I don't see it, but I definitely could see 12 plus. I mean, he's on a good pace.
Yeah. Top, if he even gets 12, that puts him outside the top 35, I believe. So, you know, still an accomplishment, though, nonetheless. He's doing great, though, man. He's doing fantastic. I don't think it really matters if he breaks any kind of records. He's doing amazing. Good question, though, and it's good to actually see some of these names. It's funny. All right, the last one I have here, archaeologists found 27 coffins in an ancient city of the dead beneath Saqqara, Egypt. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. The wooden coffins are perfectly sealed. They've remained undisturbed for 2,500 years since the bodies inside were mummified. Opening those caskets and what curse comes after feels like the scripted ending to 2020. Foul or no foul?
That's a foul. This is cool, man. Come on. I didn't even know this was happening. I'm like Googling it right as you're talking about it.
Listen, man, if you open those things, I have to believe that the ending to 2020 is what's going to happen. This feels like a movie. The way everything's played out and these, you know, coffins coming up here, you know, Egypt, a little cursed stuff. You don't open these things, Josh, right? Tell the man, you're a teacher, man. Tell him, Josh.
We can only hope.
Like in today's day and age with all the technology we have with CAT scans and MRIs and like, why do you need to open it?
Don't open it, Adam. Don't open it, Adam. I'm telling
you. What's in the box?
Listen, 2020, 2020 has been fucked. We do not have we don't have the room right now to fuck around with opening caskets. Okay. So let's leave them Egyptian castle, those cursed caskets closed. We don't need nothing crazy happening mummy style out here. But it's a pretty cool story, for real. I like stories like that. So yeah, which also, I mean, ancient city of the dead just sounds scary. Yeah, it's just crazy stuff over there, but it sounds awesome. So look into it, folks. I'll drop a little history in your ass. All right, show and tell, so we can wrap this show up. Man, we have We have crushed it, man. We covered a lot of stuff, man. Show and tell. Do you guys have anything that you want to start off with? Or you want me to jump out here first or what?
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in.
You jump out, man. Jump out.
I got something recently that, I mean, it's nothing special, but it's not something that I would normally recommend. I got some lights from my apartment, and they are called Color Strip. Essentially what they are is they're like remote control lights that essentially are just M3 adhesive, and you know, they're pretty dope. Yeah, I mean, they're nice. They're pretty bright. The biggest thing that I like about it is they're pretty like inconspicuous, in the sense that, like, I mean, it's just tape on whatever surface you're putting it on. But from afar, I mean, they're white. My walls are white that they're on. You can't really notice them with, you know, when they're not on, if you will. And then, you know, when they are on, they're pretty bright. You know, they do a good job. I was pretty happy with it. But I have a complaint that I have to voice somewhere, which is just the silliest thing in the world to me, which is, all right, so these lights were packaged and advertised as 32 feet. When you receive it, it's two separate spools of 16 feet, and they don't come with a connector. And it was the most infuriating thing.
Technically, it is 32 feet, though. So,
well, it was so, I mean, it's so dumb. Like, you have to say that it's two separate pieces. Why would you not say that in the packaging? But nonetheless, what was funny is the only place that you can buy the connectors was on Amazon. And of course, because it's Amazon, they're not going to ship you one little plastic connector that probably costs like less than a penny to manufacture and they sell for 50 cents. No, you've got to buy an entire package of them. So I had to spend like an extra $8 on a bunch of connectors that I'm never going to use.
So in other words,
just to get one.
In other words, if anyone's looking for connectors, hit up Adam. He's got those. Yeah,
seriously.
But hey, those lights.
If you need any LED light connectors, just let me know. All you have to do is pay for the shipping and handling.
Where'd you put those lights, man? Because you could put them behind a TV, behind a bookshelf, behind different things. Did you just lay them flat out against the wall? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, no, I just lined one part of my ceiling. Okay. Nothing too fancy, but I like how it looks. And ultimately, it's a big living room, and I didn't like how it was being lit with just a lamp in here. And I mean, They're neat. They've got a bunch of different colors, and the different like amount of light they can emit when they're at their brightest, they're pretty bright. They're like surprisingly bright, and obviously they've got lots of settings, so you know, you can dim it down. And I don't know, I like having something that's you know, more adjustable than just on off. Yeah. So I'm happy with it.
Hey Josh, this man's a new apartment flexing over here, just so you know.
It's fancy. Oh, yeah.
Are they like around the outside of your living room? Is that what the deal is?
Not the entire, just one wall.
I actually had them too. I actually used them to like line the back of like a shelf type of thing. So like the shelf behind the shelf, like you don't actually see the strips at all because they're you know, adhesive to the actual shelf itself. And so they just illuminate onto the wall behind it. And then I have the light bulb one too, and a lamp, and that is controllable as well with all the different colors and stuff. So yeah, the podcast room has got that little flavor going, baby. So I know what you're doing over there, man. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. This one has like a setting where it should play the music. It's not perfect, but it's neat. And yeah, I don't know, man. It's one of those things that like I like having something that's adjustable. Like, it's frustrating to me, like I said, just to have a light that just goes on or off. Like, sometimes I like light that's dimmer. Sometimes, you know, I don't want a bright white light. I'd rather have something that was like another color that was more dim, or, you know, fit whatever the atmosphere was or whatnot. Yeah. But really the whole like music sync up feature to it is hilarious to me, because when it works, it's super cool, and then it just won't work right. But you know, that you get what you pay for.
Yeah, facts. All right, cool. So I wasn't expecting that, man. I that was a good one. Josh, what do you have to battle with these lights over here, man?
So, okay, so very different tone. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and that's super sad. But what's even sadder is that we're going to jam in some justice that is going to be a pawn in overturning Roe v. Wade, and that's going to put us back into the Stone Age. Like, we can't let this happen, folks.
So what do you want us to do, Josh? You want us to vote?
Like,
do you want us to hit the streets?
You don't vote for the Supreme Court.
No, I'm saying, like, what do you want us to do?
If they do this, if they put some guy in there just because he will vote against the next Roe v. Wade type case that he gets a chance, like, we got to really make some change happen. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. This is not Saudi Arabia, people.
Yeah, politics are screwed up right now, and things are not pretty. And some of these things are, like Adam just kind of said, out of our control in a sense, sort of, kind of, in a way. Not really, because, you know, theoretically we controlled this to happen. But, yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks. It's horrible. I did see, like, stuff that she was trying to, like, hang on as much as one could, I guess you could say. But I know it was out of her control. But, like, she wanted to live to pass this so bad. You know what I'm saying? So it sucks from that.
They're absolutely going to push somebody through and get him in. And I'm sure that the agenda will be just like I just said. You know, it's that they've made the point clear that they want someone who would vote against Roe v. Wade so that women will not have control over medical decisions that impact their bodies. You know,
yeah,
because that's totally normal and the way things ought to be in 2020. It's ridiculous.
It is. Yeah, she did fantastic stuff. Her work was fantastic. So it's one of those sucky ass moments of history. So we'll see how it plays out, man. I'm not as politically I don't know what you want to call it. I'm not well educated in politics. I don't know what the counter to this is going to be, but I imagine if somebody else comes into power after Trump, that they're going to do something to alter some of these things. I know they can't change that person that he puts into power, but, like, they're going to do a bunch of weird stuff. So it's going to get crazy, man. It's going to get crazy.
They've talked about adding seats to the Supreme Court. That's been brought up, but I don't know. I'm just hoping that we get kind of a moderate nomination that will not set us back.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous to think we're even having this conversation, honestly. All right. So lights, politics. I'll end this with the idea, the message of giving people their flowers while they're still here, living every day like it's your last. I know the saying and the mentality is kind of like old, and it's, I don't know, it still rings true. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because a member of the fantasy community passed away recently, unexpected, James Cotulis, who many know as James the Brain on Twitter. And it was just, it kind of hit me. I was like, damn, like, not many people I know on Twitter have, like, died, I guess. And I know it's kind of common, but, like, not a lot of people that I speak to or, you know, are what I consider, like, you know, people I talk to, I've talked to more than a couple of times, or they support what I do, or they've showed love in any kind of way. So, like, to see that happen sucked. And I thought, like, you know, this is a guy, he's actually in the Clock Dodgers Eliminator League. He's been on the podcast. Josh, remember when we did the rookie episode? We had James send in a player. So, you know, and you know, he's a guy who's also supported Clock Dodgers, like, behind the scenes, like, in group chats that I was not a part of. So, like, that's the kind of guy he was. And, like, all the love and outpouring everyone's given him, like, is beautiful to see. But whenever this happens, like, I can't help but be sad from the fact that I'm like, man, did this person know that people, you know, respected them and appreciated them and, like, loved them as much as they did? So, like, it always hits, you know, close to home when stuff like that happens unexpectedly. Now, when people are older and stuff, like, you know, we all expect that at some point, but just out the blue, bam, just happens. Like, it always makes you think, damn, like, that short notice, man, that sucks. You know what I mean? So just, if you can, you know, keep his family in your prayers, but also just, like, show people love, call someone, tell them you love them, tell someone you appreciate them, you respect their work, you respect what they do, whatever it is. Like, never let up on that shit, because you never know when someone you think is going to be there isn't there no more. It even happened to me recently. Like, I don't get calls from, like, a certain aunt very much in my family. But then when I do, I think, like, something bad happened, like, to my mom or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, my aunt recently called my phone. I'm like, oh, fuck. Something happened to my mom, bro. She probably died. Like, I got scared as fuck. Like, I was like, fuck, man. And then in reality, she was just, like, at yoga and forgot her phone and needed my brother to pick her up. So, but, like, those kind of moments, I'm like, shit, did she know I loved her as much as I loved her? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit happened. So, like, I hate that moments like these are what reminds me. But I just want people to kind of put that out there. And just because I need that reminder. So hopefully it helps somebody tomorrow. Just tell somebody, you know what I mean? You respect them, appreciate them, love them, whatever it is. And that's my message. But shout out to James and everyone who, you know, is missing him now.
Yeah, I mean, no, just to echo what you said, you know, it's hard to ever lose a member of, you know, what we do call, like, the Clock Dodgers family,
right,
which is really, like, anyone who listens to us, supports us, contributes. I mean, it shakes the fantasy community, and it's kind of neat in a way. I mean, as sad as it is to see how the community responds when someone does pass away, like, it's obvious to see the impact. And like you were saying, obviously, you know, the idea of giving them your flowers while you're still here and showing praise while you're still here is something that we definitely try and do on this podcast. And I think that more than anything, you know, it also is humbling for myself to kind of look at the times that people have given me that praise and how that feels and how it feels to be a part of the community and, you know, to have our niche and our part. And to just really appreciate your own value as well, while you know you're around participating.
Right. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff.
Man, I tweeted at that guy so many times just to talk Jameis Winston shit. Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, that kind of shit. Like I never, I don't know, man. You just never think about it. Like with people, like you're just not, you don't ever think like, oh, this person's gonna die tomorrow, or this person could be gone tomorrow. Like it just doesn't cross our minds that shit happens. So, it's shitty. But you know, he left a good mark and an impact, and that's all that matters, right? And it just, we'll just carry that on through all of us. All right, guys. Other than that, week 3 is upcoming. Week 3 is upcoming. We hope we supplied you with a lot of information, advice, and all that good stuff. If you have any questions for week 3, start, sit, anything you want to hear next week, anything you're concerned about that we didn't cover, you can find Josh. That's the only person you need to contact. No, I'm just kidding. You can find Josh on Twitter at JC Crocker. You can find Adam at the other FF guy. You can find me at Clock Dodgers. And we're here for y'all, man. We love interacting with you guys. So if you guys have anything we missed here or just have a question following up on this conversation or anything like that, Josh, you'll follow up on whoever won the Jerick McKinnon contest.
We're at 10. 10 is the official count. Well, I guess that made 11 right there.
Yeah. Hopefully I just push somebody off right like that. I don't know. We'll see. I feel like I should just say his name a bunch of times right now. Just like run it up. But I don't really know. I don't know. I didn't want to see.
I mean, you don't know where the bets are. Yeah. So it's not like you have a person to favor.
Yeah. I didn't want to see any of that stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, guys, get Jerick McKinnon in your lineups. Week 3, it's happening again. But yeah, other than that, we appreciate you guys for listening. If you haven't subscribed, hit subscribe. If this is your first time ever listening, hey, we love you, man. Just hit subscribe. We want to see you back. If you haven't left a review, we love it if you do. We're over 100 reviews. Every single one of them means something to us. We love them. Whatever you guys say in there, we like to share on the show. So show us some love there. Other than that, listen, guys, we love you. As always, be kind, be great, keep dodging.